In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that we are to walk according to the Spirit of God. In order to do that, we have to be well-rooted in prayer, seeking always the will of God. And this is becoming, obviously, more and more necessary. It's always been a necessity, but today it has become far more so. And the reason that I say that is because when we look at what St. Paul tells us about the works of the flesh, he talks not only about immorality and uncleanness and so on, but he talks about enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrel, factions, and so on. What do we have going on today? Division. Everywhere you look, it's division. They are causing division among families. If you want to see your grandchildren, you have to get the jab. If you want a job, you have to get the jab. If you want this, if you want that. Now, in some places, you can't even go to the grocery store unless you can prove that you've gotten this thing. Now, I'd like to say a lot about that thing, but I'm forbidden to do so, so I'll just have to leave it at that, and thanks be to God, Father has said a few things, so he can get away with it. I can't right now, so I have to leave it at that. But regardless of that, the point being here that every last one of us is going to have to make a very serious decision. And that is where you're going to draw the line. Because they are causing these things on purpose. And we need to recognize that. All of this is being done intentionally. So let me bring you back to the Nuremberg trials for a moment. And they brought Hermann Göring into the trial, and they asked him a simple question. How did you get the German people to do all that you wanted them to do? And he said, it was simple. Fear. Welcome to 1939, except it's come to America in 2021. We're not in Germany, but we are doing exactly the same things. They learned their lesson. They know how to do it. And they've got the media on their side to do it for them. And so they are fomenting fear. Everywhere you look, it's fear. What did Jesus tell us in the gospel today? Don't be anxious. So we've got all kinds of fear. Whoa, what if I lose my job? Whoa, what if we don't have food? Didn't Jesus say something about that? Don't be worried about what am I going to eat, or what am I going to drink, or what am I going to wear? God will take care of it for you. Now, we might not always appreciate the way that God takes care of it, because God wants us to have faith. Jesus made it absolutely clear, seek first the kingdom of God. And if we do that, he said, everything else will be provided for you. Now, I know a few people who actually live that way. They don't know sometimes where the money is going to come from to make a payment or to get some groceries. They don't know where the food is going to be coming from. They don't know necessarily how this or that is going to get fixed or how things are going to work. And it always does. God always provides for them in extraordinary ways. And he will for you and me too, if we will trust him, if we will seek first his kingdom. But we also again have to look at beyond that, what is going to come if we do. St. Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is charity and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and long-suffering and mildness and so on. He goes on. In other words, if we're seeking the will of God, we're going to be at peace. We're not going to be filled with anxiety because we've learned to trust him. Now again, it may not be the way that we want it. I always like to point to St. John the Baptist. God provided for him. Yep, he wore camel's hair and he ate grasshoppers. But God took care of him. He provided it every day. He will take care of us too, but maybe not with the nicest of things. You might not look like everyone else. Oh my goodness, you might have to wear last year's fashion because you're not with it this year. So what? We have to make some serious choices. What is really most important to me? And we have to make sure also that in the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we are allowing the Spirit to lead us and to conform our minds to the truth. St. Paul, remember, he told us that same thing. He said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you will know what is good and true and beautiful and perfect. That's what he wants for all of us. And I say that because we need to recognize the necessity of unity. If everything is being divided on purpose, we are dividing people according to race, we are dividing people according to color, we are dividing people according to language, we are dividing people according to economic situation, we are dividing people in every way that we can, even as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to the point of dividing families. These people have been extraordinarily successful in what they set out to do, and we have just been going along with it, buying their lies and going along with it. It's time that we reject the lies. It's time that we stand up for what is true and right and good. But that means that we have to be willing to accept other people who are standing up for what is true and right and good. Look back to what happened just a week ago. So all of a sudden the Taliban comes back into the public notice. Within 3 days, the talking heads on national television said, Christians are the Taliban. The Baptists are the Taliban. Pro-lifers are the Taliban. Look at what they're doing. So we need to recognize that if there is somebody else who is upholding the truth, who is striving to serve the Lord, they are our friends. Jesus said, if they are not against me, they're for me. And so we need to make sure that we aren't segregating ourselves and causing more division. That's what the enemy wants, is division. We have to be united on truth and on charity. And we can't be judging everybody. After all, like I said, if you're going to be wearing last year's fashions because you don't have enough money to buy this year's fashions, people are going to look down and, oh, look at that lady. She's wearing last year's clothes. Yeah, so that's a real problem. But people are going to reject you because you don't fit in, because you don't look the same, because you don't act the same. Well, if they're going to do that to you, why would we turn around and do it to somebody else? We need to have our minds and hearts open to be able to receive whomever God sends our way, because there are going to be lots of people seeking the truth, people who today may not even have it. But they're going to be looking for it. And unless people like you and me are willing to reach out and help pick them up off the sidewalk, they're never going to find it. If we look at them and say, well, but they're not traditionalist Catholics, so I can't talk to them. Nonsense. They are made for the truth every bit as much as you are. And if you have the fullness of truth, because that's what we have in the Catholic Church, then that's what they need. But they might not even know it. So again, it's not thinking that we're better than they are, because we're not. In fact, we have to look at it just the opposite way. If God in His mercy has given to us the fullness of the truth, it's because He knew that we were way too weak to handle anything less. So we need to see ourselves as less than others. We have been given all of the truth. We have been given the seven sacraments. We have been given the fullness of everything. That doesn't mean that I'm better than someone. It means that I am called now to use what God has given to serve others, to be able to put this into practice. It is one thing to be able to say that I have the faith and I have the truth, but what are you doing with it? St. Paul said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you the faith that underlies my works, because he said, faith without works is dead. And so if it's just mine and I need to hold on to it because someone's trying to take it away, guess what is going to happen? You're going to lose it. Isn't that exactly what Jesus told us? Those who have, to them more will be given, and those who have not, what little they think they have will be taken from them. You have to put it into practice. You have to use it. It's not going to go away as long as you're putting it into practice. In fact, it's going to grow. It's going to augment. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead us in this time. We are going to see extraordinary things. Both rotten things, but we're going to see some beautiful things. We're going to see the angels at work as they have never done in history. We are going to see the triumph of Our Lady's Blessed and Immaculate Heart. We are going to see the triumph of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going for. But we're only going to get there if we are willing to put our faith into practice. God has given you that gift. But now the question is, what are you and I going to do with it? It's not enough to say it's mine, and therefore I have to guard it and protect it with my life. God gave it to us to use it, to make it grow. That's what he does with all the virtues. He plants them in seminal form, and then we have to make them grow. So pray. And seek the will of God. Seek first his kingdom and trust him. That's what is necessary for all of us. We have to learn that trust. And the only way that we learn trust, like any virtue, is when we have to use it. And so we look at it and think, well, okay, if I trust God, that means he's going to keep my bank account really fat. He's going to make sure that my freezer is full. He's going to make sure that I've got a full gas tank. He's going to make sure that he does what I want him to do. Wrong. I can tell you from experience what he's going to do is make sure your freezer is empty, make sure your bank account is empty, make sure that your gas tank is empty, because you don't have to trust him as long as you've got a big bank account. You can trust your blasted money. You don't need to trust God as long as you've got a full freezer, because you've got plenty. You need to trust God when you don't have the things. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to let us do without. He's going to let us put our faith into practice and ask the question, do you really believe? Do you really trust me? He made a promise. If we seek first his kingdom and his way of righteousness, everything else is going to be provided. Trust him. That is his promise, and he cannot lie. There's no problem on his part. The problem is ours. Number one, am I seeking first the kingdom of God? And number two, am I willing to live according to his way of righteousness? That's not self-righteousness. That's not I'm better than you. That means to live as Jesus did, to reach out to the broken, to reach out to the ones who are hurting, to reach out to the ones who are ignorant, to reach out to the ones who need help, to put everything into practice, to live according to the virtues. All the things that we fall into in our society, the selfishness and the arrogance and all these sorts of things, those are from the devil. That's not of God. So if we're going to live a way of righteousness, it needs to reject those kinds of evil things. All the things that St. Paul laid out for us, all the problems that our society is presenting, they're not of God. So if we're going to choose to be of God, if we're going to choose to live according to His way of righteousness, it's a necessity. And on the natural level, as I said a little bit ago, every one of us is going to have to ask the question, where am I going to draw the line? For some people, they drew the line and said, I won't wear a mask. For some people, they drew the line and said, I will not get this jab. Other people are going to draw the line somewhere else. But we need to be really, really careful, because right now we're like frogs in the water. And they keep making the water a little hotter and a little hotter and a little hotter. And we find rationalizations as to how we can get around it, why it's okay. And pretty soon it's going to be just like the people in Germany who thought it was okay to just do this or that or whatever. What can I do about it? It's bigger than me, blah, blah, blah. Where's the line for you? Where are you going to stop and say, it is enough, no more? I'm not going to buy your lie. I'm not going to give in to your fear. I am not going to play your game. I am going to serve the Lord, and I am going to trust Him, and I'm going to believe in Him. That's what we have to be about. So you need each one of us to look into our own heart and ask that question really seriously. If we've been giving into the fear, if we've been going along, if we've been compromising, if we've been doing these sorts of things, then ask yourself, where does the compromise stop? Where is the line going to be drawn? Where are you finally going to say, no more? I have gone this far and I will go no further, because I am not going to go along with Satan's plan for his government of the world. I am not going to go along with what he is trying to implement. I am going to choose to serve the Lord, to seek first his kingdom and his way of righteousness. And I am going to trust that if I do that, he will provide for me everything else that I need.